Let's get right into it. Get right into it. I know you all came from work and you're all ready to go home, so let's get into it. Proverbs 2. You'll see this phrase, my son, show up over and over again. And if you want to find Jesus Christ in Proverbs, one of the places he is in Proverbs is he is the shepherding father instructing his children. And he is, you know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Word. John says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the Old Testament, he's the Word. He's spoken. These instructions are describe Jesus Christ. And then when Jesus Christ walks the earth in the Word, all the instructions, all the things that were said in the Old Testament, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and it had a body. And so that's kind of the idea. But Proverbs chapter 2, there's a little storyline here. And the theme, really, wisdom in this chapter has to do with instruction in righteousness. And that phrase shows up several times in your Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In Psalms 23, y'all know Psalms 23, talks about the Good Shepherd and talks about he leads me in the path of righteousness. That's being instructed in the way of righteousness, being led in righteousness. Proverbs here in chapter 2, verse 20, he talks about keeping the paths of righteousness. In the New Testament, in 2 Timothy, the Bible says all scriptures given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, all that stuff. And the last thing is instruction in righteousness. And so that's the kind of the definition of wisdom in this chapter. It's instruction in righteousness. And you find out, it's righteousness is not really at least the righteousness of God is not something that people are that interested in. They are interested in their own righteousness. People will defend themselves. People want to be right. But the righteousness of God is not something that is in high demand, unfortunately. And there's all kinds of adversarial things and enemies and things like that sort of distract from the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ said in Matthew, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That's along these lines, the righteousness of God. So Proverbs chapter 2, let's read the first four verses, and we'll pray, and then we'll dive in here. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Let's pray, and we'll talk about this storyline here about instructing in righteousness. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. I thank you for each soul that's here. I pray that you would help us apply what we need to apply from these words. This is wisdom, and this is your wisdom. And I pray that you'd encourage the saints here. I pray that anybody that's watching could be blessed by what they're seeing, what they're hearing, and that you would correct our hearts and encourage our hearts tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verses 1 through 4 talks about putting a value on wisdom. And you'll notice, it says it many ways here. He says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words," just receiving words, you're not always in the mind frame to receive words. the right words. Sometimes you're distracted. Sometimes your spirit's wrong. You don't want to hear good words. So the instruction is, receive my words. Think of Jesus Christ saying this. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee. That's to meditate on wisdom. That's to apply and keep them with you even when you're by yourself and things like that. Incline thine ear, he says, so that thou incline thine ear. If you incline your ear, you're sort of like, you know, you ever do that? You put your hand on your ear. I do it more and more now because I don't know what people are saying, but but you want to listen. You want to lean in and listen to what's being said. Incline thine ear, apply thine heart. That's putting to practice what you've learned here. Putting the principles into practice. He says, if you cry after knowledge, you seeketh for her as silver, searches for her as hid treasure. This is all value. They're all valuable things here. So the point is, in the first few verses, if you want to get wisdom, if you want to get righteousness or instruction in righteousness from God, it's a two-party transaction. It's the Lord is willing to give it, but you have to be willing to listen to it. You have to be willing to take it in. You have to be in a position to accept it. And so the Lord's perfectly willing to give it out, and it's a benefit. And the problem with most of us is we don't put a value on it. We have value for a lot of other things, but not a value for the wisdom of God. So I can't tell you how many times. I mean, he says, if thou wilt receive my words, hide the commandments with me, incline thine ear, apply thine heart, cry after knowledge, seeketh her as silver, as hid treasures. All those things describe your and my work in this process as far as receiving wisdom and receiving the words that are God's words, that are wise words. And you know, like I said, sometimes we fail to receive this wisdom for a few reasons. Sometimes it's distraction. You're just distracted. And I mean, how many times have you as a parent said what your child needed to hear, but they weren't listening? And then when the time came, it was kind of like, you know, I wish you would have just listened to what I said. And that's the idea. There can be distractions. There can be a bad spirit. You know, I just don't want to listen to what's being said. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what that preacher says. I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. I don't know how many times it's happened, but folks ask for counsel. You know, they will preach on a certain subject or a certain book of the Bible or something, preaching on something, and somebody who isn't attentive or someone who isn't attending or isn't listening to the words of God, they'll call in the week or they'll want some advice, and it's like, you know, if you would have been here, you would have heard the advice. I mean, it was already given out. And so it's just like you want to avoid all of the opportunities to get wisdom, but then you find yourself in a position where you needed it, where you needed wisdom. And so that's kind of our human condition. That's sin. That's just the way we are. And so you have to make an effort. So the first few verses describe you making an effort, you putting a value on wisdom. You say, I need this. I need this like treasure. This is more valuable than you know, treasure and money and riches and all that kind of stuff. And you'll find out it is, because it's going to be righteousness that delivers, and not money doesn't deliver. Mankind has yet to figure out medically how to get away from death. You can't beat that. And so it doesn't matter how much money you have. That's one of the enemies that you, that's the enemy. I mean, you can't be delivered out of that. So you have to find someone who has righteousness, someone who has beat death, and you know, obviously Jesus Christ. But the point is, wisdom, instruction in righteousness, those things are going to be more valuable to you in life than riches and gold and all that kind of thing. Not that having a good bank account's bad. I'm just saying that stuff isn't going to answer all your questions. And a lot of the times when the money comes in, it makes more trouble. It doesn't solve problems, it creates problems. Especially if you didn't know what to do with it in the beginning. And then now you got a bunch of it, now you really don't know what to do with it. Now you're fighting over it. Now your family's fighting over it. So, I mean, some of us have experienced some of that stuff. And so you find out righteousness is the thing. It's instruction in righteousness that's really, really valuable in life. So he says, put a value on wisdom. Seek her as silver, search for his hid treasures. Incline your ear, apply your heart. Receive these words. Listen. The second thing about all this, in this instruction in righteousness, is God's part in it. Your part is to put a value on wisdom. Your part is to put a value on righteousness and to seek after it. And here's what God does. Look in verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. That you know what that sounds like when I read those verses? It's like the Lord has this storehouse. He has this storehouse of wisdom. He has a storehouse of treasure. And he observes righteousness. And I understand you're not the righteousness of God or anything, but he observes men and women who are seeking righteousness, and he observes that, and he reserves wisdom and treasure for people who are looking for it. And so he says, the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. So what did he do? He put it somewhere so the righteous would find it. He put it in a place where the righteous would find it. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. That's like a defense. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. So it's like the Lord is watching these certain paths in life. And he's watching people's hearts, and he's watching how they live their lives in relationship to his wisdom, to his righteousness. And so he keeps these paths of judgment, he keeps the way of his saints, things like that. And it's almost like it's he keeps certain things and he doesn't keep other things. Like, it's not that he keeps the way of the wicked, the wicked sort of live on their own and do their own thing, and you'll find out the wicked are trapped in their own devices, and the Lord's not keeping that way, but he is keeping the way of his saints. He is keeping the way of the righteous. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. So God is the only one that gives wisdom. Consider the source. The Bible says, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So all wisdom, all knowledge will be in line with the words of God. I just mentioned this, not that it applies to a whole bunch of people in here right now, maybe somebody watching or something, but if you hear people say, you know, I got a vision from God or a dream from God or something like that, or, you know, I got some word of knowledge, whatever, you've probably seen it on TV, you know, if you haven't experienced it. But that's, I mean, if you say you had a dream or whatever, God gave you some vision, okay. But if it doesn't line up with what God's already revealed, then God didn't give you whatever you think you got. Because it's going to line up with the Bible. And then the question then would be, just read the Bible, what does it matter about your dream or your word of knowledge or whatever? Because you've got the revealed word of God, and so if it's of God, if it's right, it's going to line up with what God's already shown people. So it's the Lord is the source of wisdom. He gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That's clarity. That's, I love the way it's described with Daniel. He's able to dissolve doubts. Like he can explain, he can interpret, and he can make sense of things that Nebuchadnezzar couldn't make sense of, that the magicians couldn't make sense of, that the wise men couldn't make sense of. And he was able to dissolve doubts and eliminate confusion and give the interpretation and make sense out of things. And that's the Lord. That's what he does. The Lord has these treasures. He's storing up these treasures. He's waiting to give them to the folks that he wants to give them to that are seeking righteousness, seeking wisdom. The Bible says he keepeth the paths of judgment, he preserveth the way of his saints. So those are the treasures that are waiting for the righteous. And then this is you've got God's work in this, you've got your work in this, because it's a relationship. You got to seek it. The Lord's going to set it aside for someone who's seeking it. And here's what righteousness equips you for. It equips you for deliverance. Watch this. Look in verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from, and it says this twice, in verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Look in verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman. So you got two deliverances here. I'll read about both of them. So verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. You know why, John says it, you know why men love darkness. Why do men love darkness? Because they don't want to be seen doing what they're doing. They don't want to be seen doing what they're doing. So consequently, a lot of stuff that shouldn't go on happens at night and things like that. Men just love darkness because their deeds are evil. So he says, verse 13, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, who delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they're froward in their paths. So there's several descriptions here. This is the evil man. And this is the description of this evil man. And when you seek wisdom, you seek the righteousness of God, you seek out God's knowledge, and it's precious to you, then the Lord has it stored up for that person, and he gives it to that person. And when that person receives it and has it, it's deliverance from this evil man. It's deliverance from the strange woman, which we'll read about in a second. But let's look at this evil man. What does he do? The Bible says he speaketh froward things. That's just like perverse things. Frowardness is like unyielding, just ungovernable, disobedient, and even perverse. It's filthy speech. All those things that you would think about it being. I mean, it's the evil man. And then it says he leaves the paths of righteousness. It's like he was close to the path of righteousness, or even maybe at one point on the path of righteousness, but he's left it and forsakes morals, forsakes restraints, forsakes any self-control, led away by his lust. But then he leads you away by your lust, and you follow him because you have no wisdom. But a person with wisdom is delivered from this path. You never step foot. You're not going to walk this path. He walks in darkness. He prefers to stay out of the light. Like we said, men love darkness because their deeds were evil. Thing is, he doesn't want exposure to what he's doing. And consequently, if you walk in darkness, it means you don't know where you're going. And the Bible is going to say that later on in Proverbs. He says, the wicked know not at what they stumble. They just walk in darkness because they want to hide themselves from any light. And then consequently, they have no lights. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're falling over. They don't know why things are happening the way they are in their lives. And they don't understand these situations. And it's just walking in darkness. So there's consequences to all that stuff. Then it says he rejoices to do evil. It's like in Isaiah, I think he says they call evil good. Boy, that has really happened in our country and of late. I mean, who would have thought you'd have to discuss biology with people? I mean, who would have thought that? Who would have thought you'd be in this position? I mean, it's insanity what's happened. But now, it's calling evil good where it's if you don't. You know, even me saying something like that may bring a little something in your stomach, like, oh, I don't know if you should be saying stuff like that. And it's almost like if you don't actively promote perversion, then you're wicked. Not just accept it, but you have to say something good about it. You have to promote it. You have to encourage it. You can't dare say anything negative. You have to say something positive about it. And so it's calling evil good. And I'm going to tell you that the results of this, that kind of stuff, we probably have yet to see the mental trouble that this confusion is going to put in people, young people. People's lives are going to be miserable. They're going to be confused. They're going to wonder and have be hopeless. I mean, we have yet to see some of the effects of what this type of instruction, this wicked type of instruction, does to people's minds. And it's not going to be, obviously it's not going to be good. But people who rejoice to do evil, they call evil good, justify sin, things like that. This is the evil man. And all of these things describe a man and a personality that wisdom delivers from. You get saved out of this. You get delivered from this. You get removed from this path. Because this path that this man's on, it goes nowhere. It ends in death and destruction. You'll see it in the end of this chapter here. So it's deliverance, he says, verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. That's rough. The strange woman, so her approach is different. It's not like the evil man's approach. The evil man's approach, he speaks froward things. He's sort of abrupt and he leaves the path of righteousness. He loves evil, but she doesn't act like that. She's subtle. She flatters. Oh, you're the only one. You're the one for me. You're the only one. You're the only one. And she said that to everybody. She said that to everybody she's met. You're the one. Her approach is different. It's without discretion. And without discretion, you don't know her approach. You don't know it. You can't spot it. But righteousness instruction in righteousness, wisdom. He said earlier on, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. It'll save your life. Understanding shall keep thee. Keep you from the ways of the evil man, keep you from the strange woman here. And these are personalities. I mean, these are descriptions of the way sin sort of works on people. She forgets, she forsakes her father's care. A lot of this can apply to the nation of Israel, but we should apply it to ourselves here. She seeks what she's getting from her father. She seeks the provision, the protection. She's looking elsewhere. The Bible says her path is inclined to death. That's what her house is facing. That's where it's going. And then this phrase is kind of, I mean, it's rough. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. None that go unto her return again. You know what that is? That's a loss of innocence. That's something you don't get back now. You walk this road and now you can't undo what you've done now. But you know what would have prevented that? Instruction in righteousness, wisdom would have prevented that, would have delivered you out of that. None that go return, neither take hold on the paths of life. And then they leave the paths of righteousness, all that stuff. So there's deliverance here. The point is, I don't want to be all negative with it, but he's giving you the value here of instruction, of wisdom, of instruction in righteousness. And then here's the reason for the whole thing in verse 21. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. That's the end. That's the Lord observing the paths of man. That's the Lord watching and seeing all this stuff. And he knows the end. He knows from the beginning and all that stuff. And he says, this is the end of this. The upright will dwell in the land, but the wicked be rooted out of the earth. So what does that mean? That means this is why what has been said is important. This is why you ought to seek wisdom and seek instruction in righteousness as silver and gold and things like that. It's treasure. It delivers. There's a verse later on in Proverbs, where he says, riches profit not in the day of judgment, but righteousness delivereth from death. You can't buy your way out of judgment. But righteousness is sufficient. Righteousness delivers from death. We'll see that later on in Proverbs. But it goes along with all of this. What you read in Proverbs is ultimately, a lot of it is, this is instruction in righteousness. This is what it is. This is what Paul told Timothy. The scriptures are good for instruction in righteousness. It's what the psalmist said of the good shepherd, that he leads in the paths of righteousness. These are the paths of righteousness. How do you know that? Because they deliver from evil. They deliver from wickedness. They deliver from destruction. That's what righteousness does. And that's what wisdom is. It's instruction. It's help. So all of this chapter, it's a good storyline. And it covers, in the first few verses, it covers your responsibility, my responsibility. In the next few verses, it covers what God's going to do. And then the last few verses, or basically the last half of the chapter, it describes the protection that righteousness, the protection that wisdom gives. And so it's a good storyline. And there's a lot of other types in here and things like that. But I guess the question is, at the end of all of this, if you don't have time for wisdom, if you don't have time for God's wisdom, if you don't have time for God's instruction in righteousness, you better make time for, well, I mean, you're not going to be able to make time for it, but just understand that if you don't prepare with righteousness and instruction in righteousness and wisdom, then ultimately destruction and things like that, that's the only path that's in the future. So put a value on wisdom. He said, put a value on wisdom. Make time. Of all the excuses we have, of all the distractions, we say, I don't really want to do that now. I don't really want to think about whatever, church. I don't want to think about the Bible. I don't want to think about my prayer time. I don't want to think about those things right now. I got other things to do. Just understand, if you don't make time for instruction and righteousness and this wisdom, the time is coming when you'll need it, and we've talked about it before, but when that time comes, it won't be available. And you'll find yourself, how did I get in this mess? Well, this is a protection. This is preemptive action. This is help before you get into this position. And we could liken it to salvation. You could liken it into just life's decisions. Lots of things you could apply this to. But put a value on wisdom. Put a value on wisdom. I guarantee you, it's more valuable than TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. God's wisdom is more valuable than that. And you're going to find you're going to need God's wisdom. So put a value on it. God has set it aside for folks who are looking for it. He set it aside for you if you're looking for it. And once you get it, it will equip you to avoid these paths that he outlined here. The evil man, the strange woman, things like that. So good chapter, good storyline, and lots of good stuff in Proverbs. But let's pray, and we will take some prayer requests here. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Covered a lot of verses tonight. Really don't know how to break this chapter down without losing the thought of what you're talking about. So I pray it's been helpful. I thank you for these words. I pray we would. Our part is to put a value on wisdom. And the rest of this is your part and what wisdom does. But our responsibility is to value wisdom. Listen. Incline our ears. Apply our hearts to these things. And all the rest of this stuff happens if we'll do that. And so I pray that you'd help us do that. Help us not be distracted. Help us care about the things that you care about. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.